I'm Vermont Edition producer Daniela Fierro, popping in to say we've edited this podcast a little for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening.
We're about a third of the way through Vermont's current legislative session. One of the key debates going on in the Montpelier State House right now is over the future of energy policy and climate action. Governor Phil Scott is asking lawmakers to revise some of the state's signature climate legislation. Reporter Peter Hirschfeld covers the Vermont legislature from Montpelier, and he's been following this topic closely. Pete, welcome.
Hi, Michaela.
So Governor Scott and Republicans in Montpelier want to roll back a bunch of different laws and plans. And all this seems to stem back to one law, the Global Warming Solutions Act, as it's called, of 2020. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah. So interestingly, Michaela, this bill didn't include any concrete policy language related to specific activities that Vermont should take to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. What it did instead was say, all right, we don't know how we're going to get emissions down at rates that scientists say we need to in order to avoid the most catastrophic effects of climate change, but we're going to commit Vermont to hitting those targets anyway. And we're going to make sure that we honor that commitment by putting these emissions reductions mandates in law. They're going to be mandates now. We have to hit them. And not only that, but we're going to throw in this thing called a private right of action. And this private right of action allows individuals or organizations to sue Vermont if we don't hit those mandates. The bill, it's worth mentioning, also created something called the Vermont Climate Council, and it directed that 23-person body to come up with a climate action plan to hit the mandates. And the thinking among lawmakers when they passed this law back in 2020 was that it was going to create the consequences that would be needed to lend urgency for future legislatures to actually figure out the mechanics of how Vermont is going to do all this.
Mm. Okay, so it set these emission reduction goals, and if the state doesn't meet them, then an individual, a Vermonter or an organization, could sue Vermont, saying it hasn't done its job. Is that right?
Exactly. And then if a judge ruled in the plaintiff's favor, the judge could order the state, the Secretary of the Agency of Natural Resources specifically, to draft and adopt and initiate a plan that would create the emissions reductions necessary for Vermont to hit the target.
Okay. So it's created these pressures on lawmakers to figure out ways to help the state meet these emission reductions goals. And one of them is the Clean Heat Standard, as it's known. It's one of the signature policies that lawmakers have passed. And there's a lot of debate about this. It's been going on for a couple years now. Tell us more about the Clean Heat Standard.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's become a really hot political football in Montpelier. So let's talk about the Clean Heat Standard. But before that, let's step back a little bit. If you talk to climate policy experts, they'll tell you there are really only two ways to reduce greenhouse gas emissions at the rates that we would need to move at to hit the mandates that we have in the Global Warming Solutions Act. One is called a cap and invest policy, and this puts a hard cap on overall emissions from a specific sector, like transportation, for instance. This is something that states like California and Washington are already doing right now. The other way is what's known as a performance-based standard, and this is a regulatory approach where you tell an industry, hey, here's how much you need to reduce emissions by, and we're going to leave it to you to figure out how to do that. The Clean Heat Standard is an example of a performance-based standard. It tells fuel dealers, you need to help your customers reduce the amount of carbon pollution that they're emitting to heat their homes. And if you don't do that, then there are effectively going to be financial penalties for you. The thing about either of these approaches is that it inflates the cost of fossil fuels. And those costs are inevitably passed on to the customer. Meaningfully reducing the use of fossil fuels requires policies that have the effect of increasing the cost of fossil fuels. And that's what's made the issue so difficult economically and politically for Democrats as they try to enact policies that are going to get Vermont on track to hit its mandates.
Mm. So let's go back to this legislative session. I mean, even though the Global Warming Solutions Act is a law, it's on the books, it has not gone down easy. Why do so many people and politicians want to repeal it right now?
So I think the governor has done the most effective job at articulating on Republicans' behalf why Vermont would be well served to repeal this law. And his argument is the mandates that we have in law right now force Vermont to move at a pace that is going to condense all of the upfront costs that are associated when you adopt technologies that are going to allow you to use less fossil fuels. Vermonters burning less carbon-emitting fuel, it's almost a person-by-person process, right? It means trading in our fuel combustion engines for electric vehicles. It means us changing out our gas-powered furnaces and installing cold climate heat pumps. And the governor's concern is that if Vermont has to move fast enough to hit these mandates, then Vermonters are going to be subjected to a whole host of costs that they just can't afford. His argument is, let's spread that out. Let's let people move at a pace that makes more sense for them. We'll get there. It's just going to take us a little bit longer, but the economic disruption that's going to be caused will be less as a result of that.
So what's their strategy in Montpelier? Is the goal to repeal the Global Warming Solutions Act this session?
The goal of the governor you're talking about?
Yes, the governor.
Yeah.
And his Republican allies in Montpelier.
Yeah, yeah. So I've written stories that use that language. The governor and some of his aides bristle at the use of the word repeal when it comes to emissions reductions mandates. They think that that doesn't fairly characterize what the governor wants to do. But to be clear, the governor does want to get rid of the mandates that are in the Global Warming Solutions Act. He wants to repeal those. He wants to replace them, though, with different requirements. And this requirement would take effect in 2035. And the governor says it would see Vermont become a net zero emission state. And that would involve the state including all of the carbon pollution that's being sequestered by things like farms and forest lands. So the governor wants to functionally get rid of what the Global Warming Solutions Act does right now, but replace it with something else that has a different set of mandates and gives Vermont a little bit more time to get there.
So, and the governor presented all this in a big climate action management plan to the legislature last week. What's been the response on both sides of the aisle to the governor's plan?
So, Democrats feel like Phil Scott has not come to the table with a concrete alternative to some of the things that they proposed, right? They put clean heat on the table. They've had an up or down vote on it. And the governor has criticized them for that. And actually, made them pay a pretty big political price for having cast those votes during the last election cycle. I think Democrats are beginning to appreciate the logistical and political difficulties that they've taken on with the Global Warming Solutions Act, but they're loath to cede ground to the governor right now without an actionable plan of his own to replace it. And I think the concern among Democrats is that Phil Scott has given them this alternative emissions reductions framework, the broad outlines, the broad concept. But he's not yet said exactly how his administration plans to get there. And I think Democrats want to see that plan. They say they're not sure that they trust the governor to deliver on that. And so before they, give up this leverage, I think they'd like to see some more specifics from the governor.
It seems like this debate over the Global Warming Solutions Act and climate policy is really hitting on these or highlighting the core beliefs of the Republican and Democratic parties in Vermont. I mean, on the left, there's this moral imperative to combat climate change and treat that as a number one priority. And then on the right, the priority of highlighting the economic concerns of Vermonters. Is that too simplistic a way to think about it?
So, you know, I think there's all kinds of ways to think about it. It's interesting. The conversation in Vermont is different than the one that's going on nationally between Democrats and Republicans, right? Because in Vermont, at least among your name brand Republicans, there's an acknowledgement that, yes, climate change is real. Yes, it poses an existential threat to humanity. Yes, humans are responsible for that. And yes, we need to do something about it. So that's an element of the dynamic here in Vermont that is different from the national scene.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that because, yeah, we should be clear. Governor Phil Scott is by far no climate denier.
No, he's not. And neither is Senate Minority Leader Scott Beck, who's been one of the harshest critics of the Global Warming Solutions Act and the Clean Heat Standard. I also think that Democrats would find problematic the idea that they're pursuing these policies simply because Vermont has a moral imperative to reduce its emissions and sort of, you know, be the beacon on the hill that lights the way for the rest of the world. Vermonters spend $2 billion a year on fossil fuel right now. They spend $3.5 billion a year on energy costs total. And Democrats believe, look, we're in the midst of a global energy transition that is going to leave behind the people that are not able to keep pace with it, right? We've got lots of Vermonters of means who are already installing solar panels because they know that energy over the lifetime of the installation, they're going to be paying less in energy costs than they would if they stuck with fossil fuels. And the argument from Democrats is it's going to require large-scale sweeping policy enacted by government in order to create a glide path for low and moderate income Vermonters to have access to the same kind of technologies that more affluent folks are.
So town meeting day is next week. Could we see any action around this ahead of that big day?
Well, funny you mentioned that. So actually, earlier today on the Senate floor, Senate Republicans invoked an unusual procedural mechanism to pull a bill from a committee that would repeal the Clean Heat Standard and tried to force Democrats to have an up or down vote on that bill today.
That's unusual, right?
It's very unusual. It's not the way legislative business is usually done. Democrats think this was a dirty political trick done in advance of town meeting day to put the screws to Democrats and let Republicans go to their constituents and once again say, see, these people, after all you've told them about how much you don't like the Clean Heat Act, they still want to go forward with it. Mm-hmm. Democrats are saying, look, this does not signal that we want to move forward with this. But there are committee processes that have to play out. And there are also things in the Clean Heat Standard that don't relate to new regulations on heating fuel companies, but that we do need in place in order to move forward with future thermal efficiency projects. So absolutely, it's a political issue today. It'll be a political issue next month, and it'll be a political issue right up until the next statewide elections in 2026.
Well, Pete, on the topic of town meeting day, as I said, it's next Tuesday. And last year's town meeting day served as something of a referendum in the state on education funding. Nearly a third of school budgets failed that day. What do you think? Are lawmakers expecting more education-related drama this year on town meeting day?
I don't think they're expecting anything to the extent that we saw last year. There is a plan forthcoming from the legislature and the Scott administration to ensure that whatever budgets are approved by voters this town meeting day do not result in the sorts of property tax increases that we saw last year. And school districts have made an effort to reduce spending. You're seeing a lot of cuts to staffing levels across the state. And so the expectation as of now, at least, is that we're not going to see the same sort of voter revolt against school spending that we saw last year.
And lastly,
but who knows?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
We have to end
never
with
know
that.
What to expect.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Lots changing. More to come. there's so much changing on the federal level right now, too. I mean, there's these mass layoffs of federal workers, the temporary funding freezes. How have lawmakers in Montpelier been responding to all these changes? And how exactly does what's going on at the federal level affect their work on the state level?
You know, the effect of what's happening on the federal level right now, I think, has been more psychological on Vermont lawmakers, and they're sort of trying to understand the new ways in which the world is working and how that's going to affect them. Most of the work related to that thus far has been observational, right? Trying to keep track of what's happening, what it might mean. But we won't see the full effects of what's happening at the state, at the federal level, or understand how they're going to concretely impact funding that's available for state programs for weeks or months, probably. So right now, it's lawmakers sort of thinking about what sorts of contingency plans, if any, can we put in place now to ensure that, you know, a loss of federal funding isn't going to force us to shutter state programs that we think are critically important for Vermonters.
Hmm. Reporter Pete Hirschfeld in Montpelier, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Yeah, great to talk with you, Michaela. Thank you.
You could hear Pete's reporting and analysis of the Vermont legislature every week on Vermont Public's Capital Recap. You can find that on vermontpublic.org.